Our next public hearing is conditional use number 2473, David A. and Sandra W. Blank.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a campground to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 30.76 acres more or less. The property is lying on the north side of J. Patch Road, which is Sussex County Route 376A, approximately 0.46 miles southeast of Pepper Road, which is Sussex County Route 376. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 533, Map 9. Parcel 58.00. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan and a revised copy of that conceptual site plan. We have a copy of the staff analysis. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibits. We have a copy of a letter received as part of the DelDOT service level evaluation response letter. And I would note that we have received five comments, which are included in your paperless packet. The Planning and Zoning Commission may remember this from a prior application that went through the Planning and Zoning Commission, and the public hearing date for that application was November 17th of 2022, which was conditional use number 2325. That went to County Council for a public hearing in January 24th of 2023 and was denied by County Council at its meeting of June 13th, 2023. And certainly if the Commission requires a copy of that, we can certainly put a copy of that into your packet. Thank you.
All right, so we thank you.
Possible to go forward and back with the.
Sure, yeah, yes. I'll load it up and then we'll just use the arrow keys on the keyboard.
Oh, and this keyboard.
Let me just load it up for you. That's very
confusing. That is to make it faster for you.
Yep. Okay. So if you just use left and right on the keyboard, you should be able to go forward and backwards.
Oh, you can do this, you see.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, I will need you to introduce yourselves for the record, please.
David Blank.
Sandra Blank.
All right, thank you. You heard what our director read into the record on your behalf. Well, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Yes.
Okay, it's all yours.
That's why we're here.
Let's roll.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Whitehouse, gentlemen and women of Planning and Zoning. Thank you for your time. This is our outline for this session. So our aim today, who are we and why are we applying for this conditional use? Details of our site plan and approvals to show all compliances, addressing community concerns, addressing previous concerns of the Sussex County Council, and we'll take questions. Today we have two main aims. The first is to help Planning and Zoning understand why our conditional use request is important to more than just us. The second is to give Planning and Zoning confidence that our CU requests can be approved by the Sussex County Council. Who are we? We are both veterans with 33 years of active duty service between us. Dave retired from the Navy with both a military and professor rank. In 1992, Dave was selected as a Fulbright Scholar to India by the US State Department, and we moved to India. Once there, Dave began to help India with their energy-related problems. Dave left academia to focus exclusively on finding a solution to India's number one cause of death, which is vehicular pollution from tailpipe emissions, which is currently taking an average of 5.5 years off of an Indian's life expectancy. This amounts to 7 billion years of life lost per year in India. While living in this Himalayan house, Dave worked for many years to find an engineering solution to India's horrific problem and finally made a breakthrough. When he subsequently tested this discovery at the Argonne National Lab, which is where the nuclear bomb was developed under the Manhattan Project, he found that his breakthrough was of far greater consequence than he had realized. Dave now has 10 patents. However, what Dave discovered is a disruptive technology, one that will be greatly opposed by industry when it is finally unveiled. And thus, engine and energy companies will want to buy out any of our investors to keep our technology on the shelf.
Can I ask you a question? And this is very, very impressive, to say the least, but can we move on to the land use aspect of this?
This is all very important, and I'm going as fast as I can, and I want to get out of here faster than you do, believe me.
Well, I don't know that it's important to this application.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm sure it's important. I'm sure it's important to you.
Okay,
fascinating. But we're here to address the application that's from. So I'd
connected. Like, why?
Not as connected as much as you think.
Thank you.
But okay.
We have been self-financing this technology so that Dave could work on this technology with a combustion expert in Ocean View. We purchased the 30.7 acres in Selbyville. Our plan was to place a home and a workshop on this property when our finances eventually caught up. But when we found ourselves unable to make ends meet while living in this area and keeping Dave's research going, we were kindly advised by zoning and planning of the option of the conditional use of a campground on our property. This conditional use as a purely private campground to enable us to host family and friend visits, mostly vets. Our older son, who would be our main visitor, was a Navy SEAL. We maintain an engine lab in the Williamsville Industrial Park on Route 54 in Selbyville and spend our daytime hours 7 days a week in this lab. In this lab, we have the water, toilet facilities, food storage, and cooking facilities needed for daily life. Thus far, for many years, we've been only sleeping in our trailer on our land, and we have been transporting all of our waste from our trailer to our Williamsville engine lab for disposal.
Thank you for entertaining my wife's introduction. It brings us to the details of our plan. The county code for the land for campground use. I think you all are familiar with that. So I'll skip that. Our plan is for a private, non-revenue campground with only two 2,000 square foot dry campsites, and thus no auxiliary retail businesses or anything else. Needed to accommodate Sussex Conservation District, Denrick, and the Delaware State Fire Marshal. All of these have been considered in our plan. You can see we have approval from the CSD. As shown in the plan, if you look at where the house is, the toilet and shower facilities for the campground would be incorporated into a campground residence, which is why the campsites can be dry. Also, for the fire marshal, we had to make sure that the, we had to increase the parking area so that there's a direct site to the house from the, and we had to make sure that trucks could turn around. So all that's been accommodated in fire marshal approval for the site plan. Because the toilet facilities are incorporated into the residence, the campsites themselves are very simple, just simply a power box. We will be raising the area is already cleared for these, but we'll be raising the area slightly and demarcating the campsites. As we mentioned, the toilet facilities, which the site shows as schematics, will be incorporated into the residence. There's been an ongoing drama, which you might find interesting, related to Denrick. We submitted a request to Denrick for permission for a raised septic in December of 2021. However, as this email explains, and it's too small for you to read, so sorry about that, but we can get you a copy if you want. There was a request for permission to oppose this, and our submission got pigeonholed, and the caseworker retired. So for every 9 months or so for the last 3 years, our soil scientists kept tickling the system, and finally in November, Denrick started working on it again. They've gone through the public portion of it, and my understanding is that there's no opposition to it, and we should have approval within a week or two. We also had been talking when we applied for this with an engineer for the septic, and we're getting ready when we get Denrick approval to continue that discussion. We'll skip that. After we built the campground, our only site was to keep our one trailer on the campsite for guests and not for travel. This means that we would not be taking this trailer in and out of our property, and that only one of the campsites would ever be accommodating other camper options, and only rarely. DelDOT has confirmed through this letter that the road is adequate for even that very unoccasional traffic. As you can see, we have two cars near the entrance, and there is enough space if there ever needed to bring another camper in for a car and a camper to get by at the same time. Also, there was some concern about the fact that the road we're on is a cul-de-sac. However, we've seen truck semis coming down the road both directions without any difficulty. We only have two neighbors living across the road from where the campsites would be. One view from this house, this is what you would see. There's a 30-foot buffer, so you wouldn't be able to see anything. The other house across from us, the view is this. Again, you wouldn't actually be able to see the campsites. I also mentioned that there seemed to be some concern about the fact that there was a fire on our property about 3.5 years ago. The lower picture is where that happened. It turns out that directly across from that, the other house, as you can see, had a fire 2 weeks later due to arson. The individual that was responsible for that was taking copper out of the house and burned that house. He was a renter to cover his tracks. He went to jail. We suspect the two were connected, but that seemed to have caused some concern from the community. Also mentioned that there was some concern expressed about our having campfires on the property. We have trails on the property, and there are cleared areas that are over 1,000 feet from the road where we, if we ever had a campfire, that's where it would be. A campfire wouldn't be a problem. This was your work last time we were together. You provided, I think, 13 conditions relative to your approval. We'll make it easy for you by giving that back to you so you don't have to go through that again. However, I think that there may, to accommodate the county council, there may be a few other requirements that you may have to put, and I'm going to recommend the possibility of one, two, or three of these. One is that the campground may not be used to generate revenue. Because we don't intend to use it for revenue, you could put that in as a condition. Another is that because it's private, it will not be advertised by any means. You know, we're not interested in having people come on our property trying to use our campsite. So obviously we're not going to advertise it.
I mean, unless they're friends.
But we're not going to advertise. Thirdly, the facilities, no facilities placed on either of the 2,000 square foot plots for the campground may be used as permanent residences, because we're not interested in renting to anybody. This is private property. We want to respect the community that we're in, and we're not interested in trying to have another residence on our residence. So these are, nonetheless, what I would like to do is go through, one of our aims was to give you some confidence that perhaps the county council will approve our request. The last time we were, I think, rather meek. We didn't give much of an explanation for what we were doing. We asked them to refer to the notes from this particular public hearing, and we're not sure that they did. So they didn't really know who we were or what we were trying to do. And it seemed as if they thought we were hippies or something that wanted to have a campground. I'm not trying to demean the county council. That's not my intent. But anyway, it was probably our mistake for not being taking a little bit more time. In any case, I want to go through the reasons why they disapproved, and maybe there's some more conditions that you will want to add to us so that they can have confidence that their concerns will be addressed. The first is that they said that the applicants just wanted to place two campers on the property instead of a home. There's a very simple remedy for that that's in the code, that within 3 years, if we haven't done what we've stated in the site plan, that you can revoke the campground. I actually have that. I'll show you that. So that remedy is already in your code, and we will point out to the county council when we address them. Secondly, they were not satisfied that the applicants had adequately addressed the water and waste needs for the campers. We've been working on this since 2021, and we're finally going to have Denrick. Third, we're will not be a commercial campground, not professionally managed as others are that are typically approved by our code. I've looked through the regulations, and the only code is the code for conditional use. And plus, we're not really planning to manage this as a campground. We're just going to have friends be able to use them when we're there. But in any case, the fourth was that there's no way to ensure that these trailers will not become permanent residences without proper utilities or being dilapidated. That's why my wife didn't want to stop. She wanted to continue to explain. We've been portaging our waste to our industrial unit on in Williamsville. But we would, if there are trailers on the property, they're not, it's going to be a dry, these are dry sites. We have little porta potties right now inside of our trailer. We would just simply do the same thing with taking the waste to the residents that'll be on the property. The council believes that neither situation is, that these trailers will not become permanent residents without the proper utilities. The council believed that neither situation is good for the residents, the people using the campers, the neighborhood, and the environment. We intend to be good citizens. My wife and I served this country for 33 years on active duty. My wife spent two years on a ship in the North Pacific with the Coast Guard. You know, we intend to be good neighbors. I'm not sure why they had this concern, except that maybe they thought we were hippies. Not that we have anything against that. We shouldn't have said that, probably. And finally, though the council claimed they're sensitive to the idea of people using their own property, they weren't satisfied that the use complies with the county requirements for campgrounds. And I think it does. And they're not convinced it's not going to be detrimental to the neighborhood in general. And we intend to make sure that we're not detrimental. So those were the concerns, but you may want to add other regulations. You know, we have questions for you, and that would be what else you would recommend. And this is a two-way thing. My wife wants to, well, this is the ordinance that says that we have to comply by putting a house within 3 years.
Not yet. Just the moment you've been waiting for. The end. I think this is important to say. Our country founders championed the right of Americans to own private property and to make use of it as they please, as long as the use is responsible to community. When Dave was in the Navy, he had a sensitive intelligence security clearance, which was above top secret. When I was in the Coast Guard, I had a top secret security clearance. Thus, we were both considered worthy of the highest order of trust of our nation. Yet I will be blunt in saying that it appears that most of the reasons raised by the Sussex County Council in assessing the merits of our CU filing suggests their serious lack of trust in both of us for some reason. But shouldn't we in any case be able to use our property in accordance with the statutes of Sussex County in any way we want, if we're within ordinance? Any questions?
All right, let's see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with, Mr. Mears.
Okay, so I've got some clarification questions, so we have a solid record. We've got two sites, correct?
Two campsites within mm-hmm. the campground.
And you stated that one is going to have a camper on it permanently.
Well, that's right now, that's our intent, yes, sir.
Okay.
But that would be after the house was placed on the property.
Okay. The question is, are you putting a camper on there permanently, or is it going to be there 2 or 3 years and then gone? We're trying to build a record here. You want us to craft, if we decide to approve, you want us to craft a motion that has conditions that are proper. So I'm trying to build a record here.
That would be up to you.
It's not up to us. You're the one applying.
Okay, sir.
Right. Well,
we would like to keep.
What would you? You need to tell us what you'd like to do. I'm trying to build the record for you. I'm not being your adversary.
Okay. Yes, sir. I appreciate that. Okay. We would. Permanent is the wrong term, but we would want to have it on there, you know, for the time being, for maybe the next 5 or 6 years or so.
Okay. That gives me a little something to work with there. The other site will be used for guests, correct?
Well, both would be used for guests, yes, sir.
Yeah, but the one people will bring their own camper and go, if I understood you correctly?
That's correct, or a tent, or,
All right, just trying to build a clear record here.
Yes.
I got a little confused on the sewage. Campgrounds typically have a sewer dump. Would you tell me again how you're going to handle it?
Well, first of all, we're going to have the, I don't know if we can page back through this and see if I can get this. That's actually a very good question.
Yeah, it's an important question. You got a nice septic plan.
Okay. Yeah, okay, so, I don't know if you can, okay. This shows, you can see a toilet in the upper right-hand corner.
Mm-hmm.
With a shower, but that toilet is integrated, if you can follow, I'm sorry, maybe I'll point here.
I get it.
Is that okay?
Maybe I can simplify it. Yeah, maybe I can simplify it.
I thought you wanted me to use a pointer. Okay, I use my finger. This is where the toilet would be here.
Okay, so
right now we're portaging our waste, you know, 5 miles. You know, we have a porta potty inside our camper. We would just, you know, in this particular
travel trailer,
yeah. We would just simply portage it from here to here. That's all.
I think I get it.
It's just like we're doing that from our travel trailer to the industrial unit and sticking it in the toilet. We'll just do something similar.
Am I correct in hearing they'd use the bathhouse and not use the toilet in their camper?
No, they won't.
Yeah, so that answers the question. You're providing a bathhouse for showers and the toilet. Thank you. I think that's all I got.
Appreciate that question because it.
Sewage is important. So.
Actually, you made it. one of the problems the community had was what are we doing with our. With our waste.
Okay, well, anyway.
And they were assuming that we were dumping it on the property, which we're not.
So if you get recommended for approval, maybe you want to just tell council that and leave out all the porta potty and all of that. We're providing a bathroom for showers and toilet. They will not be using their facilities in the camper. Therefore, we don't have to manage their waste.
Yes.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, Ms. Wingate.
Just a couple. I was unclear about the waste as well, so thank you, Mr. Mears.
Yeah.
So in reading the packet, I had to find it again, but the plan is to build a 5-bedroom single-family dwelling on this, and then you also need 2 campers for family members to stay in?
Yes.
Okay.
We want that option.
That's the option will be there, but of course they can also use our guest room in our house. That will be there.
I'm trying to justify the need for the campers, honestly, because in my opinion, this wouldn't be any different than anybody having a lot and putting 2 campers on it and then building a house later. So I think instead of a campground, then we're really kind of starting something different. And that's just my personal opinion.
That's a very logical question. We appreciate that.
There's a camper on there now, so is that currently being lived in? Because a couple of times that I've been out there, there's a camper on site now. Somebody living there now?
Yes, we sleep in there, that's correct.
Okay, all right, that's all I have.
We have permission to sleep in our travel trailer while we're waiting for these permissions for sewer, water, and then once we get those, hopefully we can put a double-wide travel trailer on there. So
now you're talking about putting a double wide.
No, it's a pre-made house.
Yeah, pre-made house.
And we're going to incrementally start with a double.
That's different than an RV, which is what your application is, unless I'm not clear.
I'm just saying the application is for the CU for the campground, but we're just.
Are you saying the house maybe a?
We're going to put a prefab house originally. We're just looking at those now, because we know Denrick's going to work with us finally. But we're probably going to make it up eventually and expand it to about a 4 or 5 bedroom house. That's why we put in the request for Denrick for that size of a septic.
It was our intent, from the beginning. That we will...
Campers for now, and then an addition maybe later on in time to put a double wide.
No, I don't think so. Time out a second, just so, I think we can clear this up.
We plan, we want to put a home...
The house, wait, just stop, stop a second, because I want to make sure we have the record correct. The house that you're ultimately going to live in, that's going to have the toilet facilities and showers, that is going to be a modular home, is what you're saying at some point.
We hope to do that within a year. Yes, sir.
Okay, you're not talking about putting a modular home on the campsites?
No.
No, 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 no.
That's all we need to know.
No, but it, I think the reason my wife is confused, I'm sorry, she's, I'm the one primarily working on this, and she's, so she doesn't understand all the details, but she, the house, we also, we're labeling it as a campground manager's residence. So it's, the house is literally part of the campground.
No, I understand, yeah. The confusion was, it made it sound like you were talking about the house plus a double wide on one of these campsites, and that's not what you're talking about.
Sorry, that was not clear.
Yep, understood, okay.
Jamie, have a question?
Well, hold on, Mr. Wheatley's got a hand on it.
I'll drive if you don't mind. Are you done?
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Collins?
So it's a little confusing that you have a, to me, camp manager's residence and office if you're not doing this commercially. Is it?
That's a good point.
Typically, you have those things with a commercial establishment where if you're operating some...
That's in, it's a part of the code. That's what they call it. You know, I mean, I could have just called it a residence, but it, the code itself talks about, you know, and it's, but it talks about the manager living in the home. So that's, you know.
That was a concern of the council, that they wanted to make sure there's a manager on site that's watching what's happening there, and for good reason, because that is part of our...
Okay, regardless of whether you're being paid for people to stay there or they're staying for free. Got it. Okay, thank you. No other questions.
Okay, all right then. Mr. Butler.
Are the campers going to be used year-round?
Right now, the one we're in is, but we don't intend that, because we're not, they're not very heatable.
Right.
So we would imagine that our friends and family, our Navy SEAL son, et cetera, would want to come down when they can use the beach.
Okay. Thank you.
White House?
I don't have a question per se, Mr. Chairman, but to assist, just a couple of clarifications. So when the dwelling is constructed, so the dwelling that is proposed would be by right. They can build that today by right. And once...
We can build it today?
Yeah, well,
absolutely build a house on your property today with all the building permit requirements, but yes.
And,
Once we get the sewer...
We have to get general approval also.
Right, but a house on a residentially zoned property is a permitted use.
Permitted use.
Yeah.
And if I may, just by extension of that, so the dwelling would be by right when you build a permanent dwelling. That doesn't require anything but the building permit. If the campsites are for guests and there is a house on the property, the bringing campers and people staying as guests on the property would be part and parcel of the dwelling. So what I'm trying to say, Mr. Chairman, is that once the dwelling is built, a lot of this goes away. What has tripped the applicant up and brought them through this process is that they want to initiate the camp use without the dwelling. That's what's driving this, just in terms of the history of what brought them here today, if that assists. So.
It's more information.
Thank you.
Well, that was actually going
to
be
grateful to have.
My question as to why it was here, I think that answered it, because it just strikes me that if you have a house and, you know, your kids and grandkids come home and set up a tent in your backyard, we don't require conditional uses for that for campgrounds.
Right.
You know, but I think the issue is there's no house, there, and it has been that way, that they want to do just two campsites. I think there's a lot of confusion because it's properly advertised as a campground, which we have to do, and people immediately jump to conclusions that that means, you know, a campground like Leisure Point or some one of the big ones that we have in Sussex County, when all this is for is two units.
Well, if the house isn't built, we don't have a shower and a toilet for the campers.
Right.
And I guess then a lot of the question would be, why is the house not being built?
Right.
Well, that was why my wife was trying to explain, you know, our motivation for this. And actually, I have to say this, is that we came to Jamie more than 3 years ago. We explained our situation, and the solution was the campground. And that's because we're trying to move a world-class technology that's disruptive. That's why my wife took the time, and I apologize for the
cut out a lot, believe me.
We didn't have the finances to put a house on the property, because we're making payments on them, we finally paid off the property. Now we have equity that we can borrow against to put a house on the property. We're already looking at that. We're waiting on Denrick. We're not going to start this until we know we're going to be able to have a raised septic system. But if we didn't have the finances, and we don't, if we're not living on the property until we have the house organized, if we'd have to rent to someplace, and we wouldn't be able to move this technology that we're working on. I can't afford to pay rent.
We're paying rent on the industrial unit.
We cannot afford to pay rent, move a world-class technology, and own a piece of property that we can't live on. Jamie, you know, zoning, they understood our situation. They recommended the campground. And since it is within the code, we would like to keep a campground after we are settled on our house.
Jamie and Elliot.
We really appreciate all the help that they gave us on this. But anyway, that makes your question, you know, it's a logical question, and there's a development. And again, we apologize for the amount of time we spent trying to relate the motivation for this.
I think we spent more time on this than we would on a campground the size of
the
with
800 sites.
Yeah.
So it's typical in Sussex County for people that want to build a house. They might put a mobile home on the property and live in that, but that's connected to a septic system. How are we going to handle the sewer with no house providing the bath and...
No, our plan is to put the house, you know, within the next year and have
the house goes in first.
The order we would done now do this is we would put the septic first, and then the well, and then the house, and then finally we would set up the campground.
That's good.
We had that in our.
The bathroom is there before the campers. That we're just trying to weed through this.
The disposal system for this will be in place before you have campers on the campsite. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, exactly. Yes, sir.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and there'll be the facilities will be there for them to use. There'll be a bathroom, a shower will be there.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, because that, you know, this is a conditional use process, and one of the nice things about conditional use is that we can put very specific requirements on. And that would certainly be one of them, I would think. We don't get very many requests like this, as you might guess. Your request is pretty unique, but we're doing our best to consider it, and we appreciate, you know, what you've shared with us. If no one else has any questions, you do. Okay.
I do.
All right, Mr. Collins, go ahead.
So there is a camper already on the site, right?
That's correct.
Travel trailer? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So are you actively using it?
Yes, it's where we sleep.
We
spend 7 days a week in my engine lab. And my wife's a saint to be willing to do that.
And I'm a saint, but I'm done with this.
She's looking forward to the house. But we sleep in the trailer, and in the winter it's rather cold because it's not well heated. We're just using an electric heater.
So I think the dilemma is what's happening with this? So you're currently storing the waste in the travel trailer.
No,
we're not storing it there.
What are you doing?
We have two little porta potties. One that has the water supply, and then the one that I didn't want to get into the details. Anyway.
Wait a minute.
I'll do it.
But you have a contract with somebody to come
service
that. We do it ourselves.
What they're doing is they're collecting their waste, they're carrying it from there to the to the industrial business site and disposing of it there.
In a toilet?
Yeah, it's sort of a bucket brigade, if you will.
We didn't want to go into these details, but
sorry.
Probably everybody at this place has had something like that, but okay, thank you.
Let me just, we spent 24 of the last 32 years living in India, and
we did have sewer and water, electricity.
We have a house in the Himalayas at 7,200 feet, but we had all these facilities. But in any case, if you see how the typical Indian deals with his waste, they walk out into a field with a water supply. You know, our system is.
Yes.
You know.
Oh. Okay.
I just, if we were to have a motion on this, I didn't want us to not accept that they have a porta potty they're using right now. There's no active system, but they are effectively residing there. Was that clear before?
Yeah, I gotta think about how relevant that is to how we go forward, but yeah.
Well, yeah.
Because here's the fact of the matter, we've got to figure out.
Well, I have a question for you.
Well, let me back up, just because we talked about it. As Mr. Whitehouse said, these folks have benefited from time in the evolution of this project since it was here. Because I think you two weren't here when it came around before. I don't know, Holly, and Mr. Mears.
I was too.
Yeah. And it was a campground, but it was a little bit different, and it was a little less clear on, you know, the residential aspect of it. And now we've got a residence, because if they get the DENREC approvals for it and then they build the house, then they do not need a conditional use, you know? I mean, so there's an element of what they're now asking to do that doesn't require county approvals. On the other hand, they can't have the campground without the house and the septic facilities. I mean, we couldn't even approve that.
Right. You know, so. And yeah. DENREC will be asking about how the waste is going to be handled for the campers.
Right. So anyhow, it's just, you know, it's something to sort out the best path forward for
them. DENREC's aware of our request for campground.
Pardon me?
DENREC was aware of our request.
Okay, I didn't say they weren't.
No, I didn't say.
But it'll be a concern.
I didn't say you said.
They'll address it.
Yes.
I don't have anything else, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So we're building a bathhouse that's going to have functional facilities with a septic system. And then we're putting campers in, two campsites.
Well, I don't know that that's it, though. You're not building a bathhouse. You're building a house
Wait.
Five-bedroom house.
Okay. Well, this is where I know it's where I'm getting lost.
Yeah,
okay.
No, fair
well,
point.
Our plan is to have a site plan.
If you're, yeah.
The site plan addresses it.
A little corner of the house for the
So you're going to build this little corner of the house first. Is that the idea?
We would build the house and put a bathroom outside the house.
If you're going to build a house, you don't need to be here.
Yeah.
Does anybody explain that to you? You do not need to be here. If you're not building the house and you don't have a septic system and you don't have a bathhouse, then you don't have the facilities for a campground.
Right.
Exactly.
It's a catch 22.
So it's a catch 22. You can't get approval for a campground if you can't dispose of waste, okay? So you can't get, you know, a campground approved if you don't have some place to, you know, to dispose of the waste. So if the answer is we're going to build a house, then build the house and then put it. I don't care if you have 10 tents in your yard.
Well, the DENREC delay
enabled
us to pay off the land, and now we can talk about buying a house, but we couldn't before.
Okay, hopefully this clarifies. You can see the toilet in the upper right-hand corner. Okay, so
I see a square with a label on it.
Yeah, I know.
What is it?
Okay,
Is it a building?
I'm saying what it says.
It's a toilet, but it's if you look at the house that we're talking about, it's part of that. It would be adjacent to and part of the of the plumbing for the house.
So you're only planning to build the pump, the...
Are you going to build that now so that you can service these two campsites?
We're going to do it, yes. We're going to do that with, we'll put the house and we'll also build the toilet right next to the house. The way I have it drawn is integrated into the house. But it would all be a part of the same plumbing as the house. And then the plumbing would go right into the...
I understand that. But in order to use those two campsites, you have to have the bath facilities have to be up and functional.
They will be.
They will be.
Okay.
Before the campground will be used.
Right.
Yes.
And if you, now, and when you build that, and then you're going to build the rest of the house later?
No, we're gonna buy that. She wants to get into a house. So we're going to put the house up first. We'll put the toilets next to it.
That's the point. They're building a house that's got like a door that goes into the house so that the campers can use that bathroom facility. It's all one structure.
Once the house is there, you don't need the campground designation.
You don't need the conditional use.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
So if you build the house to accommodate the campsite, you don't need the approval.
I mean, as long as you're not using it commercially, it's not, you know, Airbnb.
If you're not doing it commercially, you're not charging people.
My understanding was that we can't have anybody living in the. We can store a trailer on the property, but we can't have anybody use a trailer on the property, even if it's just a residence. That was our understanding. It enlighten me if I'm wrong, but this, I remember last time we had this public hearing, Jamie actually made that, clarified that point.
You can't have a permanent, you can't have a permanent structure. It can't be permanent. You can have visitors, but you can't have anything permanent there.
You say it can't
okay,
be.
Okay, so were we under the misimpression that we could, no, but we
well, let's
told,
do this. Hold
we
on. Let, let,
we
let's,
had to get her.
Just let's all, because now we're starting to speculate about what we can and can't do. Yeah, let's just wrap this here
we're,
up.
We're
going to
deal with the matter at hand, which is this application. And since the commission doesn't have any more questions, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application. Is there anybody here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2473, David A. and Sandra W. Blank? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2473?
Yes.
All right, sir, we're going to start with you, and then we're going to start, you'll be next, okay? All right, sir, if you give us your name, you may have the floor.
I'm William Pepper. I live at 35409 Pepper Road. We have farm there that joins this property, and I'm definitely against the campground, but if they want to build a house, fine. But something just came up a while ago, and I don't know if you're aware of it, when they started talking about a campfire. The ground there catches on fire and it burns until it snows again. I learned this a few years ago. We went to bed one night and thought we had a fire out. The next morning, it was 150 feet away, and it started. And it burnt for a year until it snowed.
Well,
that's what happened in Burn Swamp, very close to there.
I mean, the land is all right there. I mean, I mm-hmm. lived there now for 60-some years. Mm-hmm. And our neighbors are against the camp. Grounds to the McCabe's. He couldn't come tonight.
Okay.
But if they want to build a house, I have no objections. As you say, he doesn't need anything.
Thank you, Mr. Pepper.
Thank you. Yes, sir. You're next.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Matt Mitchell, 30291 J. Patch Road, Selbyville, Delaware. I live to the west of the banks. No. I'm very cordial to them. When I go by, I wave to them, even though I've had a couple not so good run-ins with them. I've had multiple hunts ruined. My son, luckily, has a good head on his and I'm sorry, is it Mrs. Frank? What is your last name?
Blank. The last
Mrs.
name is
Blank. Thank you, sorry. I'm very nervous. I'm not a public speaker.
Well, that's all right.
So, don't appear nervous. You're doing good.
She came. My son was hunting. I'm trying to be quick. My son was hunting, and he's very shy. The first two hunts, he let it go. She came. We have very visible no trespassing markers, yellow tubes on all four corners of my property. My sister-in-law, Rachel Hochstedler, owns a sliver beside me, and then it's these folks. When they first moved there, we had to call the fire department because there was an unintended fire burning. And it wasn't arson because there's rakes, shovels laying there. Nobody would be around, so we called the fire department. They came and put it out. I live right to the west of them. A west wind could, you know, very well take my property out. And I, this is not a brag, but my septic was $33,000, and that was very unexpected. I built in 07, and I hooked my house up to it, built my house. And I'm not allowed to hook anything else up to my septic, I don't believe. But anyway, okay, I'll try to be quick. I'm sorry. The blanks, I'm opposing it because no one obeys the trespassing signs. Multiple hunts have been ruined. My son mentioned it the last time to her. And I'm afraid if we have a campground next to us, you know people like to explore. We hunt a lot and we shoot a lot of firearms on our property safely. My son and daughter are very good marksmen. They, I just don't want anybody, we're allowed to shoot out our backyard. We have plenty of trees blocking any, you know, thing like that. We have a mound that we shoot into, a pond. So we try to be very safe. And I don't want anybody wandering in on our property and getting shot. I mean, then we would be responsible. And it, the messed up thing is now if you somebody gets hurt on your property and there's no trespassing signs, there's still been lawsuits. And I don't know. I just don't need drunk people and golf carts. You know how people campers are. If it's just family also, why does there have to be a manager's office?
Well, it's a, I think I can answer that for you. That they're trying to comply with the code. The code makes a reference to that.
Okay.
And I understand what you're saying. It does seem kind of odd, especially if you only have two campsites, that you'd have to have a manager. But they're trying to, you know, they're trying to play by the rules.
Okay.
So I understand that.
And I'm okay with hippies. I'm a redneck probably. But I get along with everybody. I don't care what they do on the property. I just don't want anything commercial next to me. It's, okay. I mean, campfires, the smoke came onto my property. That's what I noticed. And I'm a property over, so I don't know. I just have concerns about open fires and stuff like that.
All right.
And I'm sorry, I know we've been taking too much of your time.
No, go ahead.
If we want to talk about service, my father and brother served. I mean, I don't know what that has to do with it. But we have had friends, and we've even as a family have camped on that property. It doesn't take much of a clearing to set up a tent, a little porta potty, and a safe fire, you know, pit. So, and they used our facilities. So, that's my concern. I just don't want anything commercial next to us. They say it's not commercial, but I can see a couple years down the road where they're going to try to get approval for more camp spots. And then, that's just my, you know. And every time I see a semi truck, it's backing down the whole J Patch Road. And I apologize. I had to take off work early twice now, and the semi's back down that long stretch of road. I've never seen one turn around. There's nowhere to turn a semi around at the end of J Patch Road. And so that's that. And I'm sorry. I'm very nervous.
Okay.
And that's about it for me. Well, that's all I have to say.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry.
It's Thank all right. You for no apology necessary. Okay, who's next? Anybody else? Yes, sir. Come on up.
Hello, Council. I was here in 2021 with the first one.
And your name is?
Mark Meckes.
Okay.
And our house was the green one that they showed in the video, on the picture. I have some bullet points here I wanted to go over. Some of them may be irrelevant with him changing his story of not being public for use. But I want to make it clear that the camper's been on that site since the first conceptual use permit, and they've been living in it. And Bob was here originally, the neighbor next door, and said nothing was being moved. So I just wanted to make it clear that they are living in that camper, and that's why they want it. So I'll start here. This is really no difference in the original conceptual use, conditional use permit, 2325 and 2022, that was denied. J. Patch Road is a dead-end road, and its additional traffic would devastate the road and barely wide enough to pass. You've seen the two cars there. They were in the grass to show that space between them. And that's probably the wide, one of the widest spaces in the road. When you go down towards the woods, it's not as wide. The Department of Transportation volume summary, the annual average daily traffic along J. Patch Road and Pepper Road to dead-end road was stated on the paperwork that was provided was 101 vehicles per day. That's not on J. Patch Road. That's on Pepper Road, passing J. Patch Road. There's only their estimate of they stayed on the survey on Mr. Whitehouse's survey that he got from the DOT that there are fewer than 50 trips per hour and fewer than 500 per day. That a traffic study is not required. Does that mean that we're allowed just under that amount? Not sure. There are 8 full-time residents on J. Patch Road, 9 residents total, 1 being myself and another that aren't full-time there yet. Will be very shortly at retirement. This grows, there's an organic farm there that does not have sales on site. He just does the growing there. So the survey, I believe, was not on J. Patch Road. The survey drawings also state on the blueprint that Mr. and Mrs. Blank own 30.76, give or take, acres. It also states that 86% of that is wetlands. And it also states that 1.8 acres, give or take, is usable. So We have built a new home across the street from the property on this no outlet road. This is not what we had planned to look out our windows at retirement, as you've seen the home. The picture from the outside of the house doesn't look like you can see his property, but when you stand in my kitchen, in our kitchen, and look out the kitchen window above the sink, you look over all the brush and all you see is what they cleared. So when everything's built there and everything's there, we will see it. Why can't they be like the rest of the neighborhood and just build a house? No one would have an issue. There's no reason for campsites, especially if you have a 5-bedroom house. That house that you've seen in the video and the pictures is a 3-bedroom house. And I'll take all my kids and grandkids for a weekend and then they go home. I don't see any reason for anything other than a house. This would be decreasing all neighborhood property values in the future if approved, especially the 2 or 3 that he's shown on the video that are right across the street. Less than 100 feet away. There could be so many people staying at each of these campsites as stated in the paperwork. It says to allow mobile campers, tents, camp trailers, touring vans, and such like. He also states, however, the bath and toilet will be used to support additional facilities. I don't know what other additional facilities he's planning on, but it says additional facilities and structures on the 30.77 acres, which we should say 1.8 acres. What does he mean by that? I don't know. The other thing is there is no waste connections for the campsites or a dumping station in the area, which I've heard a few times from the council, and I appreciate you guys, it's your job. You deal with it every day, but I've noticed that over the past 3 years. Not that I stand there and wait for them to carry their waste out to a car and haul it away. And if this would even be considered to be approved and would be approved, would it be monitored by the county if it's approved? Because at the end of the day, it's a campsite, right? This would be detrimental to all neighbors, the neighborhood, if approved. All I and the neighborhood ask is that you all take this in deep consideration as if this was your neighborhood, and would you want to look at campsites outside and drive by it? I think myself and everyone that opposes this has no problem with a house. Put a house in. It's a one-family residence. They come and go. I don't see any reason for needing a campsite unless there's something that is not physically told to us yet, and it's a hidden secret. I just don't know. That's all I have, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you. All right, sir. Thank you. Okay, anyone else like to speak in opposition?
It's still afternoon. My name is Edith Meckes, and we reside at 1435 South Crox Road, West Coastville, PA, but we also live right across the street at 36959 Guitar Lane, Selbyville, Delaware, which is right across the street from the applicant's property. And I hereby oppose the blank's conditional use request of a campground for mobile campers, tents, camp trailers, touring vans, and the like, as listed in their application dated July 28th, 2023. To summarize my opposition prior to greater detail, one, CU2473 should not be approved simply to remedy a poorly thought out land purchase. Two, can't justify a third campground in Selbyville in the middle of our tiny one road neighborhood. Three, transient population will create a sense of insecurity for the neighborhood. Four, a campground would negatively impact our property values. Five, added activity will have a detrimental effect on the bald eagle pair who frequent the property. I originally planned on sending this letter in, but didn't get it done, so I'm sorry, but I'm just gonna read it. It seems the applicants may be seeking relief for not doing their due diligence prior to purchasing their property, since the majority is, I believe, unbuildable wetlands. When first meeting and speaking with the blanks, they told me and my husband about the invention they were working on, and when asked about their use for the property, they told us they were going to build a bunch of small houses way in the back for their workers. Strange, why wouldn't their workers have homes of their own? Then came the first CU2325, which was denied by the county council. That one was for a campground with campers for visiting family to stay in until their house was built. And now CU2473 is for a full-fledged campground with a manager's residence, office, and bathhouse, all the while having a camper on the property and not building a house within the last 10 years of ownership. This leads to the question, how many times in years are you going to allow the blanks to slightly change their request and reapply? Very specific to this conditional use request is the fact that a simple search for campgrounds near Selbyville, Delaware produced at least 14 results, two of which are in Selbyville, negating the need for another, especially in our tiny one road in, same road out neighborhood. And then I wrote the 14 search results down, and I named the parks, the campgrounds, their addresses, their phone numbers, how many minutes it takes to get there using my address since I'm right across the street, and the mileage, but I think we're going late, so I won't.
Is that a copy that you can leave with
it's
us?
It's my only copy. I didn't have access to a copy machine. I'm sorry.
We can make a copy of it and put it in the record.
Okay. It's in what I'm still going to read. Should I finish reading it first?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Sure. No, go ahead.
Okay. Then I put the two Selbyville campgrounds closest to the blank's property average a 15-minute drive for 9 miles. So I don't understand how anyone can justify disrupting our neighborhood by adding a third campground to Selbyville. Our tiny one-road neighborhood has no special attractions for high-end campers and is in no way unique to the local area, so who actually is their target demographic? Another simple search questioning,
I didn't see that
one. Does a campground across from your residence lower your property value, resulted in the following artificial intelligence overview on there. Yes, a campground directly across from your residence is likely to lower your property value, primarily due to the concerns about increased traffic, noise, and potential aesthetic disruptions caused by the transient population staying at the campground. However, the exact impact depends on factors like the campground's quality, management, and overall character of the neighborhood. And one of the negative factors is listed as transient population. A fluctuating number of people coming and going could create a sense of insecurity for some of the residents, of which I wholeheartedly agree. I would also like to mention the fact that there's a pair of bald eagles that frequent the trees behind the Blanks camper. I've seen them in those trees for the past 10 years, and a neighbor informed us that they have been there for years prior to that. I love nature, and I follow Ornithology Audubon and various birding and nature sites. Personally, my focus is nature photography, mostly of birds and insects, so I have pictures of those eagles in those trees, which is an awesome sight, although I didn't have time to get them together.
You do know that eagles are not an endangered species.
Yes.
Yeah. They're another bird.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know that. It's all just... Right.
Got cardinals there, too, I bet. I like them better.
Oh, yeah. I have tons of birds.
Right.
The Merlin app's great. let's see. Of course, conservation is a priority for all birders, and as such, I'm very concerned that the added activity of a campground will have a detrimental effect on them, chasing them from their frequently favored habitats. I implore each of you and the County Council, when considering the needs of the applicants, the campers, and the interests of our neighborhood, ask yourselves, is the Blanks J. Patch Road campground a benefit to everyone? I think not. I'm praying our neighborhood remains intact and welcome the Blanks to build their home in our neighborhood without the campground. Thank you all for your time and careful consideration of this matter.
You know, if they build their house, they can have 50 people sleeping in tents as long as they're not charging anything.
I'll bring you back to the original.
I'm sorry, what? Oh, yeah, well.
Yeah, there's that.
and a camper can be part of
it. And a camper can be part of there. Yeah, it's really an unusual situation. Yeah, but I understand.
Well, yeah, I mean, every time we're here, it's something different. That's
their right. I mean, as far as their what they ask for, they can change what they ask for 100 times if they want to. That's their right. So can you. You can come in here and do the same thing because that's the process.
How long are they allowed to have their camper there and live in it though without a house? And used doing what they do with their waste.
Yeah.
Good
question.
Yep. It's kind of scary to me. Understood. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's different. It's not typical, I understand. Okay. It's not illegal.
Done?
Yes.
Can I faint now?
Thank you.
You're good. Okay, who's next? All right. Anyone on the commission have any further questions, comments?
No, sir.
No.
Okay.
Can we do a 5-minute break?
Most enlightening, yes. We're going to close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. And we are going to take a